Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Jahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Hoy vamos a hablar sobre el caso de Jonathan Banda Baila from Oakland, California, and all the cases that we talk about are important to us.
Yeah, we learn about each person individually, so we truly care. And this case happened in our community, so learning how the law enforcement treated this case is really hard to hear.
Yeah, I don't know, I just feel like, you know, law enforcement is like the one that we go to, but hearing about these cases and now hearing about this one specifically that happened right here, it just kind of like makes you question like your, like, what is your safety to the law enforcement, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, it for sure made us feel not safe in our own community, so. But as always, we want to state a trigger warning because we will be talking about sensitive topics. Como siempre, queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
Y antes de empezar, también queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
Jonathan was born on October 19th, 1999. He was 5'7", 175 pounds, African American, black hair, and brown eyes.
Él estaba yendo al colegio. He was going to Merritt College, and he was described as caring and athletic and overall full of joy.
Yeah, many say he was very affectionate, and he was someone that would lift people's spirit.
I don't know about you, Steph, but like, I really enjoy hearing about how the person is. Mm-hmm. It just, obviously, we don't know these individuals personally, but it's just kind of like,
it gives you a better picture of what they're like.
Yeah. So, la última vez que Jonathan fue visto fue el 3 de mayo del 2019. He disappeared as a 19-year-old from Oakland, and he was on his way to a soccer tournament, and he had left his Fruitvale District home.
And like we said, this case happened in our community. So like Fruitvale is somewhere we go to all the time.
Yeah, like I grew up there. Iba a la iglesia allí.
Yeah.
I feel like si ustedes son de Oakland, like you know Fruitvale area.
Mm-hmm. Later, la policía encontró su carro. They found his 1998 silver Honda Accord abandoned in the westbound direction of the San Mateo Bridge. And there is a photo of his car passing the toll.
Y en su carro encontraron sus cosas de fútbol, porque él iba a ir a un tournament, y también ropa que se iba a poner a un evento. And I think it was like a formal event.
Mm-hmm. And Harrison Banda Baila, hermano de Jonathan, dice que Jonathan no enseñaba ningún símbolo de depresión or any sign of mental illness, like he was a mm-hmm. healthy young man.
Yeah, Jonathan was in good physical and mental condition when he went missing, and he had no history of running away.
So because of the little evidence that they had, and honestly, the no effort to really figure out the whole complete truth, the Oakland Police Department kind of assumed a conclusion without evidence. The police department was ready to classify Jonathan's case as a suicide and close the case.
And to be honest, the family has been the biggest advocate. On May 21st of 2019, the family took the podium at an Oakland City Council meeting. They were asking for help. Y la policía, como dijo Stephanie, estaba lista para cerrar el caso, rule it as a suicide, y, you know, that's it. Pero la familia sentía que las autoridades no estaban haciendo lo suficiente. And honestly, I kind of agree.
Mm-hmm. I agree too. Harrison Banda Baila, el hermano de Jonathan, spoke at this meeting y él dijo que Jonathan era feliz and, you know, it just didn't make sense that there was no way that Jonathan would just take his own life. And he continued saying that Jonathan had a busy week. He had a tournament and a formal. Él dijo que las autoridades no le dieron importancia a la desaparición de Jonathan desde el principio.
And I feel like, I don't know, in veces, like, we don't really know what the person's going through, right? Like, internally. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like as a brother or as a mother, you're going to have that, like, little sense that something's off.
You know? And, I mean, I think it's hard to hide.
Yeah. And I don't know. Parece que Jonathan, like, todo estaba bien. And, like, he had, like, a busy day ahead of him, you know? And I don't know. It just, it seems really, like a curveball, you mm-hmm. know? And so, en un artículo, vimos que hubo muchos errores en la investigación. You can see, like, straight up the lack of attention that this case received. And, like, even before Jonathan went missing, on May 4th, the California Highway Patrol got some calls. Tuvieron cuatro llamadas de gente que iban manejando on the San Mateo Bridge.
En esas llamadas, ellos dijeron que había un carro estacionado in the westbound slow lane on the San Mateo Bridge. And the San Mateo Bridge is pretty long. And, like, it runs long, you know?
It goes on for a while.
Yeah. Y en esas dos llamadas, dijeron que había alguien sentado or parado on the guardrail overlooking the bay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the other day I was driving on the San Mateo Bridge and I was trying to pay attention. There isn't many, you would be blocking traffic. Jonathan was blocking traffic on the slow lane because there isn't, like, where you can, like, park
like
to
a
the
direct
side.
Lane, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was blocking traffic.
I feel like if he was blocking traffic, como dice Steph, it's going to be really hard for people not to notice him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, basically everyone that was driving that lane had to see it.
Yeah, because, like, there's literally water, like, you know, on both sides. Like,
yeah.
There's no one walking. There's just cars on this bridge.
Honestly, if you're not familiar with the San Mateo Bridge in here in the Bay Area, like, definitely search it up and then you'll see what we are talking about. Because, he had to be blocking, like, stopping traffic.
Yeah.
So, ese día, like, varias gentes llamaron diciendo que eso estaba pasando. Y esas llamadas fueron, like, muy seguidas, like, back to back. So, the California Highway Patrol llegaron a los 20 minutos y ya no había nadie. Nomás estaba el carro. And one of the officers drove west across the bridge to Foster City and looked... You know, he just, like, looked out, like, just in case someone was walking. Maybe he left the car there. But no one checked the eastbound.
And, you know, there's also emergency call boxes mm-hmm. on the bridge, but none of them were used. And the highway also has security footage, and no one walked out of the bridge in either direction.
Yeah. Pero luego la familia se enteró que they had only two camera zones with footage. So it definitely depends on the angle and what they really are able to capture. And, like, again, we said, like, that highway is huge. So I think it's very possible that we don't have all the information. And I feel like, I don't know, en muchos casos miramos que sí tienen cámaras, pero it's always pointed at a certain angle. Like, it's what are the odds that it's going to capture exactly what you need to see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Although there has been cases that it works out, but...
And so this raises many questions for people who like true crime y también para la familia because they would like to be sure about what happened mm-hmm. to Jonathan. Like, they don't want just assumptions, you know?
No,
they want the truth. Now there's questions like, was Jonathan alone? Did he walk off the bridge? Was someone with him, like, you know, like, in his own car?
Mm-hmm.
Or did someone pick him up?
Yeah, these are all really good questions. Because now you don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah, because the camera footage can't confirm.
Yeah.
You know, that he walked out safely.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's these questions.
I wonder, like, si algo, like, si su carro estaba fallando o se descompuso. But, like, I mean, probably not because nothing came up about that, right?
Yeah.
But, and I feel like we see other cases that, maybe the conclusion can be assumed, right? Like, oh, probablemente eso es lo que pasó y así mm-hmm. es como se queda el caso. But I don't know. We deeply feel like they should still be investigated, you know? Like, they should look for that, like, every single answer that they can. And it's just, like, it's a little frustrating because why not all the cases?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like only a few... get to that step and then most of them just get left like this one did kind of
just like Yeah, like you said, other cases, you can assume the conclusion, but they still exhaust all resources, even when the end result, you know, can be assumed.
Yeah. It's just like the effort that you put into the case in the time and dedication.
Yeah. I feel like all you have to do is like put yourself in the family's shoes. Mm-hmm. And obviously as a family member, you want them to still investigate, you know, if like there's not enough evidence.
Yeah. You want them to do everything that they can.
So documentation shows that the California Highway Patrol closed the case a little more than an hour. So pretty fast.
That's like just an hour, and then it's like, oh, that's it.
That's it. You're just going to close the case. Now what? Yeah. Like, where's this person, you know? Who's like the person who, the owner of this car?
Exactly, yeah.
So the officers got the car towed to a private lot. And the documentation states, and I quote, problem changed from traffic hazard to storage, end quote.
So it was kind of like, oh, so this car was like blocking traffic. We got it out the way.
That's it.
Solved.
Yeah.
So it feels like, I don't know, like the cops miraron nomás el carro como un problema, you know, tratando de sacarlo, keep the traffic flowing. And they didn't really, how do you say, like, were on alert that someone was probably missing, or like someone was missing from the picture, you know?
Yeah, I guess it didn't take the phone calls very seriously.
Yeah. And so they didn't know who this car belonged to or who the person that people reported earlier was. But the car was not registered yet. Porque creo que recientemente había comprado el carro, so it was still very, like, new. So, you know, that is valid, but there's always a but. Because if they had searched correctly, they would have discovered ownership documents with Jonathan's name in the glove box department. And there was also his passport in his duffel bag.
So the officers claim to not have checked the car, which I think es algo que deberían hacer. Especialmente porque hubo llamadas de alguien que estaba caminando, you know, near. I mean, ahí no se puede caminar, so that's weird.
I mean, well, even then it's like a bridge, you know. And it's even like, vienes a un carro, right? And it's just, that's all you have. Like, the least you can do is try to look for clues, try to see who it belongs to.
The car wasn't registered, so yo creo que they just kind of glanced and like, okay, let's take it.
Yeah.
But they didn't like look into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And meanwhile, days and days are going by. And for reference, La Familia, you know, wasn't too worried in the beginning porque Jonathan se había quedado con amigos en casas, like, muchas veces antes. But, you know, since days and days were passing by, they began to worry. And especially because he wasn't answering his phone.
El teléfono de Jonathan estaba apagado, so entonces las llamadas y los mensajes no entraban. Y entonces la familia llamó a la policía to make this report. Because honestly, I feel like at that point, I would be pretty worried too.
Mm-hmm. La familia has her own opinion about how the case was handled. Because the California Highway Patrol kind of messed up with like not checking the car and not looking into it with the phone calls that they received. And now the family is going to work with the Oakland Police Department. And I think they were scared, you know, to see if they were actually going to be helped.
Yeah. That's honestly pretty sad, like, that you don't know if you're going to get the help that you received from an institution that's supposed to, like, quote-unquote, protect you.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote, help you, you know?
I think there was a quote from his brother kind of expressing, like, man, now we have to deal with Oakland PD.
Damn, yeah. And honestly, again, if you're familiar with Oakland, like, the OPD has a lot of things that they need to work on. And so right from the beginning, as expected, it seems like they didn't have the best experience because it took 2 days for the case to be transferred from the initial reporting officer to OPD's missing persons unit investigators.
That's crazy.
So again, this is what we're talking about. Like,
2 days.
Yeah. That's a lot. And honestly, I feel like se podía haber tomado más de 2 días si no fuera por la familia de él que estuvo, you know, like, putting pressure on mm-hmm. the authorities, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Then the investigators got the car's VIN number from Jonathan's father, Falah, and they were able to track it to the California Highway Patrol because it was impounded on the San Mateo Bridge. And, like, the family wasn't notified of this until May 10th.
And so the investigators did a vehicle search at the private lot, but with no technician.
Apparently, investigators admitted that once they found the car and checked it out, they didn't know about the 911 phone calls from mm-hmm. the bridge sighting. So it mm-hmm. seems like there's a lot of disconnection. I just feel like we have to say that again. Like
they didn't connect these two things.
Yeah, like the highway patrol is different from the police department, and there was no communication at all. You know, and then yeah. when like the Oakland PD came over, the California Highway just didn't let them know. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just so much disconnection mm-hmm. there.
You know what it reminds me of? It might be a little different, though, because here we have, like, two different departments by the looks of it. But it kind of reminded me of LaRyan's case.
Oh, yeah.
You know how, like, he went missing. The next day, they find a body, never was identified. And because they failed to communicate these two events, they weren't able to solve a case for, like, 25 years.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And one investigator said he didn't understand the California Highway Patrol log that was called the CAD. So it's a dispatch log that maintains an ongoing record of incoming and outgoing dispatch communications.
So I'm like assuming that the California Highway Patrol kind of took note, like hubo llamadas de una persona que estaba parado, you know, out of their car. Mm-hmm. And they wrote that down for, like, the, you know, many calls that they received about that incident. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the investigators of this case couldn't understand their notes.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so on May 13th, there was a helicopter search of the area around the bridge. And the next day, the Alameda County Marine Unit searched the area under the bridge and found nothing. And after this, they just wanted to call it a suicide.
I don't know. I just feel like these are just like super weird circumstances. Like so many questions arise from it instead of being like settled, you know?
Yeah, it seems like the investigators are okay with not really knowing,
mm-hmm.
you know, not being 100% confident.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. It feels like they were just kind of rushing it and kind of just like, oh, you know, this is, that's it type of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, it could just be because, you know, like Oakland tiene mucha actividad, muchos, you know, me imagino que todos los días es algo para ellos. And I don't know, like, do they prioritize?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, not that they should, but it's just, you know, like...
Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah. And we actually kind of talk about it a little bit more later about Oakland PD.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Harrison, el hermano de Jonathan, just couldn't believe this theory because, to him, it just doesn't make sense. Like, he knows his brother. Especially because of what Jonathan had just experienced. Jonathan had a near-death experience in December 2018. So only a couple months, you mm-hmm. know, difference. The Banda Baila family took a trip to visit their extended family in Sierra Leone. And Jonathan had contracted malaria.
And when this happened, they only had access to, you know, a rural clinic, and when he got to the bigger facility, they were understaffed. His brother remembers seeing, you know, the fear in Jonathan's eyes. He didn't want to die. So, like, for him to commit suicide months later is something he could not wrap his head around.
And he puts an emphasis on those conversations que él tuvo con su hermano about his near-death experience. And él dice que él no cree que él se hubiera quitado la vida.
And in reality, like, también no había evidencia para que ellos dijeran que fue un suicidio. Like, it could potentially be a possibility, but no había evidencia para decir exactamente que eso pasó. You know?
Yeah.
I just feel like all around, there was kind of like no evidence about this or that.
Yeah, I feel like you said earlier, no effort.
Yeah.
Like, they were just so ready to close the case. Mm-hmm. Police did get his cell phone records, but nothing came out of that. And like we said, his case did not get much attention. It wasn't until 6 weeks after that they had a Twitter post. And that's a pretty long time after his disappearance.
And to support that, we found an article saying a volunteer had a conversation with the tow lot owner, and they said that the police were disinterested in the car. So again, it just feels like they lo quitaron, the traffic was blocking on the bridge, and then it was just kind of left there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, to go further into that, the Oakland Police Department told the family that to get the car back, it would be expensive. But Chief Ann Kirkpatrick stated they would take care of the fees. But the family later found out that the tow lot owner sold the car because Oakland PD told him that he could sell the car.
That's just
playing games with the family.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah. First of all, siento que tardaron en conectar este carro a Jonathan. Mm-hmm. When all his stuff and all his belongings were there from day one when they found it, right? Mm-hmm. And then now Jonathan is missing and no pueden ni like investigar el carro, ni like run some tests through it. Like, they literally just got rid of it. And like, the family is angry, as they should. Pero ellos entienden que the OPD is understaffed and, that there are so many cases because, honestly, like, I'm pretty sure there is. But they believe that it's beyond just being understaffed. They think that this is a bigger problem. Jonathan's sister, Sia, thinks it's institutionalized racism.
Jonathan is African American, mm-hmm. and he comes from an immigrant household, so the whole entire family felt unheard, unseen, and not helped.
And on top of that, they sensed that they were not organized, no standard procedure for social media, documents have a digital signature of a chief that's already retired, so
that doesn't speak very well
not of at
this
all.
Department.
Yeah. Like, clearly, yeah, tienen, es un problema más grande que just being understaffed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I feel like even then you hear some cases donde es un pueblito or like a small little town que nomás tienen like dos policías trabajando. But I mean, let's just be honest, like, depending on who the person is that's missing, like, that's where the effort's gonna go.
Mm-hmm. It makes me angry because Oakland is also very divided and mm-hmm. gentrification is happening.
Ooh, a big problem here.
So it makes me angry to think that, like, Fruitvale and even like East Oakland mm-hmm. cases get treated so differently from like Lakeshore
mm-hmm.
cases.
Yeah. And it's literally like just the different neighborhoods, the different people. I don't know, but it honestly, it's really heartbreaking to like see. You know?
Yeah, because we belong in this community, you know?
Yeah, we are from the East Side. We are women of color, you know? So this is our community. These are, like, our people.
Yeah.
And it honestly really is heartbreaking.
And to go off of that, Fala then visited Noah Gallo, which was his council person. But it seems like he kind of just tried to avoid him and, like, not speak mm-hmm. to him. But when he did get the chance to talk to him, he did express his sympathy, but still then never returned his calls.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like también, ¿cómo le va a dar la cara knowing that his police department didn't really help?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or isn't really helping, because they could still help.
Mm-hmm.
And so the family kept insisting, and now, you know, they were attending police commission meetings.
And this is like now months later.
Mm-hmm.
And then they held a press conference in September and named Jonathan's case as an active missing persons case. That, I feel like, took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the family felt like they were finally being helped by OPD.
And honestly, like, it sucks that they had to wait this long to finally feel seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because cuando una persona está desaparecida, siempre lo hemos dicho, pero cada minuto cuenta. And I feel like en este caso, dejaron pasar mucho tiempo. Mucho, mucho tiempo, you know? And the OP commissioner, Janelle Harris, became a liaison. And this means that she would be an advocate and connect the families and the OPD. And while this happened, the main detective of the case, Cunningham, retired.
Y la familia no estaba muy feliz con Cunningham porque anteriormente en juntas él había dicho que Jonathan could be taking some time off or playing soccer in Europe. And la familia felt a little bit disrespected because why would you be making such assumptions when there's nothing indicating that?
Yeah, like passports were left behind, no phone or credit card activity. So as a professional, like, why did he feel okay to make such comments? Like, I don't know, like, if you know that it's not a possibility, why? Like, soccer in Europe, when there's a family super worried about their child.
Mm-hmm. And so now with him retired, now they have a fresh set of eyes. Acting deputy Chief Deron Lindsay stepped in. And now this person is looking at everything again from like, you know, day one, taking another look at the phone records, looking at the area where his phone last pinged, which was on the San Leandro-Hayward border.
Yeah, and the family feels like their little efforts now are them trying to hide the fact that they didn't give this case the attention it deserved from the very beginning. You know, like,
also, like, yeah, I agree. Like, they maybe noticed, like, social media giving this case attention, because I don't know if you remember this. This one came on my feed. Like, this case was on my feed. Yeah. I remember when he went missing, it was a big deal within, like, you know, our
community.
Our community. So,
yeah. And his father says that they should have searched the water immediately, and that could have potentially changed everything.
Yeah, because of their lack of effort from the beginning.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like it's a bridge by the water. Like, why would you not
check?
Like, we know how dangerous the water can be. Like, I don't know.
So the family has a reward of $10,000 for any information on Jonathan's whereabouts. Please contact Oakland PD at 510-587-2523. Or OPD Missing Persons Unit at 510-238-3641.
La familia de Jonathan está dando una recompensa de $10,000 por cualquier información que alguien tenga de dónde pueda estar Jonathan. Y si ustedes saben algo de este caso, por favor contacten al OPD al 510-587-2523. O también pueden llamar al OPD Missing Persons Unit, que es el 510-238-3641.
If you have any information, it would greatly be appreciated. You know, cualquier cosa. If you were driving on the San Mateo Bridge, if you saw anything, like, help the family have closure, whatever the information is. I think they just want to be 100% confident with what happened or, you know, anything.
Please. They deserve it. You know, they're still waiting on what happened to Jonathan. Y gracias por escuchar. We'll see y'all next week.
What's up, guys? This is the Unnoticed Podcast
with your host, George,
and your host, Ricardo, where we get straight into pop culture, true crime, conspiracies, and scary stories,
making you feel like you're right in the room with your homies.
And you can find the Unnoticed Podcast on all platforms.
And with that being said,
welcome back to the spot. Don't make it hot.
We love you,
even if you love us or not.
Ah. Clown Boys.